We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. And Dave, this is an exciting day. 50th anniversary of Hee Haw. We have four guests. You never thought you'd do four interviews in one day with me. So we're going to have a really fun Friday. So go ahead and introduce our first star. And I look forward to chatting with her. So go ahead and introduce her, Dave.
I'm so honored. Lulu Roman, for those of you who may not remember who she is, she's an American comedian and singer. She's probably best known as a regular on the comedy music show Hee Haw, 1969, if some of you were even alive back then. Roman was born with a thyroid dysfunction in a home for unwed mothers and placed in an orphanage home. Well, you've certainly made something for yourself, haven't you?
Thank you.
Absolutely, Dave. And so, Dave, your fondest memory of Lulu, he's a huge Hee Haw fan. I am, and Dave asked me, so Dave asked me, do you watch the show? Because we did interview Jana a couple of months ago for an event in the summer. And Dave asked me, do you know of Hee Haw? I said, I know of it in passing, but Dave loved the show. So you have a big fan interview.
Thank you.
So go ahead, Dave. What's your fondest memory of Lulu, Dave?
Well, now, I was 15 when I was on, and Lulu, I am so glad that they, gave you so many parts, because you're very funny, and you are a great comedian. I'm surprised they didn't, I don't remember you singing on the show, but you have an amazing voice. I heard a video.
Thank you very much.
Blast.
All right, thank you.
Did you sing on the show ever?
I did, yeah.
Okay, well.
I did.
But congratulations, you lost like 200 pounds at some point.
Yeah, that was more fun than I know how to have, honey.
That's like two people.
Yep. It is, and I hope they're not hiding in my basement somewhere.
So what inspired you, Lulu, to lose that weight? What was the big motivator?
I think long life.
Yeah, so... So you look pretty healthy, according to the pictures I see.
Thank you very much.
You don't look like the same person.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of weight, honey. I have.
And you've overcome a lot of difficulties, not only being an orphan, but you suffered with drug addiction during the show.
I sure did, yeah.
You're a Christian. Got inducted in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 99.
Yep.
Along with Barbara Mandrell and Loretta Lynn. So, I mean, that's not too shabby.
That's some nice company, isn't it? Woo-hoo!
Yeah. You had a number two hit 7 times.
Uh-huh. I did. Thank you.
All right, Dave, I'm going to go jump to some questions. You're giving her a great bio. So, Lulu, now tell me specifically enough the whole process of how you got on Hee Haw. Tell us that story.
Well, I'm thinking probably maybe 2 or 3 years before Hee Haw ever started. I knew Buck from working in the Dallas nightclubs. And he used to tell me, he said, you're the funniest thing I've ever seen. And one of these days, you're going to be a big star and I'm going to have something to do with it. And I'd bump that cowboy hat and I'd say, keep talking, baby. And by golly, he did. They, when they started the show, they had a kind of a list of what they wanted for performers because they weren't real fond of the idea of having a cattle call for that many people. Mm-hmm. So they found Roy in Vegas, and they found Buck in Bakersfield. And they had, you know, a couple of people that were writing for them. They had help with, you know, trying to find the characters that they were looking for. And they just asked all these guys they started with, like Buck, you know, we're looking for one gorgeous blonde and one gorgeous brunette and one girl next door type and one boy next door type and one fat, dumb woman and one fat, dumb man. And Buck said, I got your girl. She's in Dallas. So, that's how that whole thing started. The next thing I knew, my phone rang, and Buck said, now just sit there and listen to me, okay? Because I generally just had I could just chatter right back. And he said, just listen to me. He said, they've started this thing, and they're going to do this show, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I said, okay. And he said, they need for you to be in Nashville at a certain date and stuff. And I said, well, all right, I will. So I showed up, and the next thing I knew, they stood me up front of a camera and had me read a cue card. And I heard one of the fellas back there say, my God, she's incredible. And I turned around and I said, my God, give me your money and watch me get better. Okay. So they took me at my word. And the next thing I knew, I was the round, chubby one on Hee Haw. Right.
As they say, the rest is history. So yep. Were you, when you saw what was going on there, were you as optimistic about the show, or were you kind of agreeing with the critics at this?
I kind of agreed with the critics at first, because see, I had never, to begin with, I was not into country music. I was a hippie kid. I ate LSD and ran around in water fountains. So I was the next thing to crazy.
Wow. So did a lot of the cast members think that the show was kind of corny and what the heck am I doing here?
When we first started, everybody just kind of looked at each other and went, Yeah. Nobody was sure except for the guys who thought it up, you know?
Yeah.
And they were real smart and they did real good.
Well, I read that the magic of the show was in the editing. You know, they were just doing fast clicks, you know, it was almost like the Rowan and Martin's laugh in for country, and it worked.
Oh, yeah, it did.
And there's been
so
nothing.
We're on the 50th anniversary,
yeah.
I assume.
Yeah.
Yes, can you believe it? Thank
how
you.
Many, how many did not make that one? I saw that the 10th anniversary, everyone was there. How many were missing the 50th?
We've lost. Honey, I think I'm about the only one left. Of the originals that were, you know, on the first Hee Haw shows. We just lost Roy, and he and I were the last two. And I ain't going nowhere, y'all.
We can tell.
Now, so the Buck was an original, too, or was Buck more? Explain Buck to us. Yes, so Buck is going to be on the show today, later, too, as well. So is he going to say good things or about you, Lulu? What do you have nice to say about Buck? He discovered you, for sure, by giving you this opportunity that changed your life.
He did. Buck is the one that got me on the show. Buck and I were great friends. We were. I understood him well. He was not... he was not one to joke around, and, you know, he was very business-minded, okay? When it was time for him to be there, he showed up. He was on time. He knew his lines if they had to, you know, if there were things that he had to do. He knew them. He did. And he was the consummate performer. He sure was. He was a wonderful guy. And Roy was kind of the opposite in that he was the fun-loving guy. Roy loved to have fun. He kind of showed up when he wanted to.
Wow. You know, what was some
of your favorite moments on Hee Haw?
Yeah.
What did you enjoy doing the best over there?
It was also good because it was, you know, we became family after a while. You know, we did. So... having the opportunity to get to play with each other and work with each other. Of course, my favorite thing, of course, was the truck stop, because not only did we get to eat food, we got to throw it. And that was the best part. That was fun.
Being one of the original members, Lulu, talk about the connections you have with your fans that today, from before, and just connecting with people that watch the show. How fun is it?
They have just always been the best. You know, I realized that, you know, first of all, on a show that no one ever even thought about doing anything like, okay, to be a part of that, and then to be the effect girl on the show, okay, that was something really extraordinary and really, it was a major blessing in my life. It was. I never realized that it was going to turn out to be what it did. And the people, the fans have been so incredibly true to us. They have. I have just been, the best I can say is I've been insanely blessed with this. I have. The Hee-Haw fans are the best fans I have could even imagine in this world. They are.
So what are you doing these days?
Well, I'm out singing almost every weekend.
Where do you sing?
I sing in churches. I sing in little auditoriums. I sing in opera houses. I sing in coliseums. I sing anywhere they'll ask me.
Walmarts? You could sing right now for us, right, Lulu? Right in front of everyone at Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only gospel, but you do a lot of standards, don't you?
I do. I do, yeah. Standards. Cool, me too. I love Patsy Cline stuff, you know. Mm. Stuff like that, good stuff.
Well, I know it's not polite to ask a lady how old she is, but you sound pretty young. Would you mind?
Thank you, honey. I am 72 years old, honey.
Well, God bless
you. With the mind of a 38-year-old.
You're 2 years younger than my wife, and she's doing pretty good.
All right. Yay.
And she looks pretty good.
Cool.
So hang in there. You got many, many moons to go.
I do. I do. I sure do, honey.
Are you married?
I am not married. My husband is deceased. Of course, I'm still looking.
So you're available? And,
really? Really?
All right. Well, fantastic. Dave has a final question for you, Lulu. And Dave is on a mission, and his mission is involving caregiving. And that's why he's my co-host that comes on to do this celebrity segment. He helps, sponsor this great opportunity to get to talk to such amazing people like yourself. But go ahead, Dave, and tell your story.
Yeah.
Well, my wife had stroke 22 years ago.
She
became paralyzed on the right side. I've been her caregiver ever since. And
what a beautiful heart you are. Wow.
No, thank you. It was tough for the first 2 years, but, she got her stride, reinvented herself, and now with one arm, one leg, basically, and might as well have duct tape over her mouth, she's decided that she can do everything she did before.
That's great.
She makes us normal people just look like whiners and complainers.
That is awesome, honey.
Yeah. So what kind of experience have you had with caregiving? I'm sure you're no stranger to it either.
Oh, no. I've taken care of a lot of people. It's funny how people come in my life and I end up taking care of them.
Natural born.
Oh, my goodness. My son is calling right back telling him I'm on the phone, honey. Okay.
Always fun, these conversations. Yeah, we're here.
I've got a website, caregiverdave.com. Caregivers who are, not doing very well. 30% of them die, and the rest of them get sicker than the ones they're needing a caregiver of their own.
That's
caregiverdave.com, and we're a support group, and we've got lots of resources for them. And I've written 3 books. I'm here in Hawaii writing my 4th book.
Oh, how wonderful. Golly.
But my wife's here traveling with me. She only likes to go to the fun places like Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Go suffer a bit, huh?
Des Moines, Iowa. Hey. Like that. Nothing against Des Moines.
All right. Well, fantastic, Lulu. Are you on social media and stuff? People can connect with you and stuff like that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
We're working Okay, awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. Happy 50th anniversary, and thanks for taking the time to reminisce about Hee-Haw. I appreciate it.
Thank you all for calling, and you have a great day.
You too.
God
bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. I think when Dave and I connected, he never thought that he'd have 4 interviews in one day with me. He doesn't understand. I've done 15 to 16 in one day, so this is nothing for me, but it brings back a lot of fun, especially when we talk about the 50th anniversary of Hee-Haw. Now, I have to ask Jana or any of the guests that we've had on today about how I could start catching up on Hee Haw. Maybe they need to make it available on Netflix and start binge watching the shows, because I'm sure there'll be new fans all the time. That's what I do, is binge watch. So I'm excited to welcome the program. First of all, my co-host, Caregiver Dave. It's round two, and it's someone we already talked to before, but you know, you're ready to play the fiddler, right? In this type of a thing, right? The fiddle's ready to go, right, Dave?
Yep. And to piggyback on what you just said, Neil, you know, everyone made a big deal of MASH 10 years and Seinfeld 10 years. Well, Hee Haw's been on, what, 23 years? I didn't hear anybody make a fuss about that. Well, welcome to the show, Jenna.
Jenna Day
is an American country and bluegrass fiddler. She gained national fame by appearing on the nationally broadcast CBS syndicated television show Hee Haw, part of Buck Owens' band in the 70s, the Buckaroos. And prior to her work with Owens, she won the Ladies Division National Fiddling Championship. Her trademark is playing that blue fiddle. Welcome to the show, Jenna.
Thank you. Can you imagine that my trademark became an electric blue fiddle? I was such a purist, you know, in all the fiddle contests and everything. You play a nice acoustic fiddle that sounds good over the mic. And I happen to have a really good violin. It was made in the year 1750 in Milan, Italy. So it's kind of my Strat. And they said, no, we want you to play this blue electric fiddle. I thought, oh, my gosh, that'll be the end of me. But I did it, of course. And, you know, people would write to the girl with the blue fiddle, and it became a trademark. It's a wonderful Barkisberry fiddle that I can play with any band, country, rock and roll. I mean, it will stand up in its volume or whatever. It has a real nice acoustic volume also, but I can play the loudest with the loudest and the best of them with that blue fiddle.
And Dave, kind of,
I'm sure you have been responsible for the sale of millions of other blue fiddles. So congratulations.
Now I want.
Well, it's. Go ahead, Neil.
No, I was going to say, Jenna, I was going to say that, you know, when you talk about the fiddle, you talked about how you really brought the rise on of people wanting to learn how to play it, and you help people all the time in this way, right, to develop their skills in this, right?
That's right. So many people want to learn to play the fiddle, and gosh, we have a wonderful crop of a new generation or two of fiddle players coming up, and they're all so good. And, you know, I was probably the first girl fiddle player in a country band for sure, because it was always the guys in the band and maybe a girl singer. But Buck went out on a limb and hired a girl fiddle player. And, you know, it took three people to replace Don Rich when he was tragically killed. It took a vocalist, it took a guitarist, and it took a fiddle player. And he thought, you know, they'll never compare Don and his playing with a girl. So he thought it was kind of a safe thing. And it did become really, really good for the show. He was a great showman and related to the audiences. And I learned a lot working with Buck about how to really engage the audience, you know, in a show. He got me standing ovations all the time.
Wow. And
how do you go from a Juilliard musician to a fiddle player? How does that process work?
Oh, well, in my family, my granddaddy on my mom's side, my maternal granddad, is a champion fiddle player. And he and my grandmom played piano, and they played square dances and all over the place. But they wanted their daughter, my mother, to learn right, in quotes. So they sent her to New York City. And there she met my dad. They were both studying at Juilliard. And, of course, they were going to have their child prodigy in me. But later on, and I did start playing at age 2.5. And played on TV when I was 5, played Hungarian Dance number 5. But years later, when I'd play for, like when I was 10 or 12, I'd play for, you know, like a Rotary Club, a Lions Club luncheon, something like that. And I'd play a real complicated classical concerto, the Seitz Pupils Concerto or something. Then I'd play one of Granddaddy's fiddle tunes, and it brought the house down. So I learned at a very early age, you know, what worked for an audience. And I still do that in reverse. I play my country things and mostly fiddling and different styles of fiddling. And then I'll play Flight of the Bumblebee or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the contrast that people get a kick out of.
And Dave,
so you meet Buck Owens, and, yeah. and he gets you into the Buckaroos, and then it's hee-haw, and the rest is history, huh?
That's about, well, it's a long history. I'm writing a book.
Are you writing that book? I told you to write that book last year. I hope you're doing it.
I'm working on it, Dave. I know you were encouraging about that. What I'm doing is I'm writing it myself. I have a friend who is scanning pictures for me. And I'm writing as I can. And then we'll probably take it to somebody, maybe my sister in California, who's a really sparkly writer. She can dress mm-hmm. up a little, or maybe we'll get another writer.
And we'll have you on the show when you launch your book tour.
Okay, that's a deal. Well, you know, we've got, Neil was talking about where to find Hee Haw and all that, and Netflix or YouTube, whatever. This live tour that we're doing is called Cornfield Friends with a K, because it was Cornfield County, you know, with a K on Hee Haw. And there's a website, cornfieldfriends.com. Or they can go to my website and link to it, janetj.com.
We hope
the folks will watch for us, and we'd love to get booked into lots of towns. You know, we want to take this clear across America on the 50th anniversary. 50 years it's been showing.
I can't believe it.
Is that
I can't believe I'm that old.
I know, me too. RFD says it's their most
popular show.
I was 15
in 69.
You were, huh?
Yeah.
And he has some memories.
Girls got me to the show, yeah. But I really enjoyed the singing and the picking and the grinning and just the comics.
The humor, a
riot.
You know, it was so well balanced, and it was a family show. Everybody in the family enjoyed it. There was humor. There were fun jokes. There were the pretty girls. There were all sorts of wonderful.
It had everything.
Yeah. In addition to Buck songs and Roy songs and the what they had every week, they had the cornfield that was always fun and the fence that was fun. But they also had everybody who was anybody was on that show. You know,
Johnny Cash, Garth Brooks, just anybody who was hot at that time, you had him on.
Right. Vince Gill, they've all been on Dolly Parton.
So
yeah. I don't think they wanted to come on at first because they thought it was corny, but after a while when it took off, they said, well, maybe I do.
I have a question for Jana. Let me grab a real quick question for Jana because we're going to be going into another interview after this. The question I have for you is, what was your most embarrassing moment on Hee Haw? Because you've already answered the questions this summer when you were on, so I'm going to hit you with that question.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know what I said way back this summer, but we've had a lot of time to reminisce. And I think my most embarrassing time was when we were in a cast setting, and, you know, Gaylord would always make us laugh right before the camera came on. But somehow I missed the fact that the camera was already on, and I was talking away and laughing with Archie Campbell. He happened to be right next to me, and we were just carrying on and laughing, and by gosh, the camera was rolling. I thought, what did I say? I know I didn't say anything bad, but everybody was trying to get my attention, and finally we caught on. The camera was rolling, and I think they probably did a retake. Bless them.
Well, I'm sure it was funny, whatever it is you said, because a lot of the funny stuff on there was the retakes. I'm thinking of Junior who was messing up his lines. They'd try it 2, 3, 4 times, and that was funny.
26 times for some of the words.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was one, Lulu was talking about it, trigonometry. Try to get Junior Samples to read on a cue card trigonometry. It didn't work. So Roy Clark was kind of coaching him with every syllable. Trig, trig, oh, and he would repeat. And then he said, trigonometry. And Junior said, trigonometry. You know, it's just, he
this
just,
is classic
he was
stuff.
Just funny.
I'm reliving it right now.
Well, we're
Dead
definitely.
Man humor.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, my gosh.
He was the real article.
Yeah.
So we talked about most embarrassing moment. What would you say if we talked about a memory that you just you'll never forget from shooting on Hee Haw?
Well, I think it was the very beginning when I expected to come into an audience, like an auditorium with an audience and a stage and a show. It was not that at all. We walked into Channel 5. A small room. They had no virtual stage. They had haystacks around. And then they proceeded to shoot everything in that room. And I just couldn't believe it. But what we did, they shot like all of the cast songs together, all of Roy's songs together, 13 at a time, all of Buck's songs together, all the cornfield scenes together. And I did start to catch on. But it was also, they knew I was shocked my very first time there, and everybody just sort of took me under their wing and said, it's okay. It's not live, but when that red light goes on, it's like it's live. And they have laugh tracks, and they have the cast sometimes be the audience. But it was a family feeling. That whole family, extended family, embraced me. And, as a newcomer, and it was and from that time on, we've been good friends, and I'm so tickled to be out on the road with these wonderful friends. And we have such diversity. There are four of us going out on the road, and we're going to have special guests. Anybody who was on Hee Haw is so welcome to come on as a special guest. But we have as the regular four, Lulu Roman, fantastic voice, Misty Rowe, darling character, her little high squeaky voice, and so cute and funny. And Buck Trent, banjo player extraordinaire, and me on the fiddle. So we have four diverse talents.
Definitely.
There, and we just have a blast.
Well, wow. It's fabulous to get.
It just doesn't get any better than that. That's so much fun.
Absolutely,
so
Dave. So, Dave, your favorite memory of Jenna. I'm hitting Dave with these throw him off guard kind questions today because these are quick, and we get to interview all four of you guys today. So we're getting a different reminiscence. We had Lulu on, and now you, Jenna, then Misty's calling in a couple seconds. So what about a memory of Jenna you have, Dave?
I love the Orange Blossom special, and I was amazed that you were able to play it. Because you figure only guys know how to play that, but you put them to shame.
We had a good time. And, I was kind of the world's first. Well, I was the world's first buckaroo, but I was one of the very first girl fiddle players on the national country music scene. And now look what's happened. All sorts of girl fiddle players, all sorts of young fiddle players. I'm so thrilled, and I love to mentor people, and we'll keep doing that.
Well, you cleared the field for them. Congratulations.
All right, Jenna, the best place we can connect with you again, social media-wise, things, where's the best place we can go?
Well, Facebook has a page, Cornfield Friends, with a K. And we also have a website, cornfieldfriends.com. And they can look for me on my page. It's J-A-N-A-J-A-E. Sometimes people misspell it, but janaj.com. And I'm on Facebook as well. So we'd love to connect there. And we're trying to keep that current with where we're going.
Fabulous. Well, thanks, Jenna, for calling. And then I'm gonna bring Misty on for a question. I'm gonna throw her right off guard because we're just going. Misty Rowe, thanks for calling. What memory do you have of Jenna from on the road before? Jenna's right on the line with you right now before we say goodbye to Jenna. What memory do you have about Jenna, Misty? Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. I think my favorite interview, memory of Jana, is we were actually at a memorial for Sam Lobello, the producer of Hee Haw, who died, and we went out to dinner after, and at the restaurant we were at, there was a band, and I said, you know, Jana, I think they need a fiddle. And she goes, they sure do, Misty. And she ran out to her car, opened her trunk, took out her famous blue fiddle, and ran back in, and she said, now I'll play if you dance. When I play Orange Blossom Special, you jump up and dance on stage. I said, oh, okay. And we did, and it brought the house down. And it was so much fun. We didn't do it for money or fame, just for the pure joy of being among people and having that memory, that energy we had so many years on Hee Haw. And ever since then, we've been together on the road.
Misty, that's a wonderful story, and I'll tell you, it's all true. We did put the house down, and it made us want to do more. So here we are on the road with Cornfield Friends. Well, thanks so much for the interview, guys.
You're welcome,
and
Jana.
Sign off, and
we'll talk to Misty.
You talk to that cute gal with the big blue eyes.
Okay. Thanks, Jana. All right, take care. All right, that was Jana Jay and Caregiver Dave. We're with Caregiver Dave and the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment, and we are breaking our record of four interviews, and you could talk a little bit about Misty Rowe. Dave, I already introduced her. What memories do you have of Misty, Dave? Are they Misty?
Misty was my favorite part of the show because she would wear a halter top and a bare belly and hot shorts, and she just made everyone else look good. And I was only 15 at the time, so, you know, I had a lot of hormones. But that got me to watch the rest of the show with the great singing, picking and grinning, and I just loved the show. I watched it for the entire 23 years, so there.
Well, thank you. I no longer wear those shorts. I donated them to Broadway Cares, and they were actually auctioned off my Hee Haw shorts with my Hee Haw poster to raise money for the AIDS Foundation.
Oh, good for
that's
you.
Great. That's great. Now,
I do wear my little Hee Haw. I wear my Hee Haw red dress in the show.
So, Misty,
a lot of people don't realize that you are an actress. You've been in a lot of good stuff, and you were in Happy Days. Tell us about that.
Well, my second year on Hee Haw, I auditioned for Happy Days, and they gave me the role of Wendy the Car Hop. And I spent a whole year on Happy Days as Wendy the Car Hop. And one of the most famous segments that was done is Guess Who's Coming to Christmas? And it's when Fonzie doesn't have anywhere to go, and he comes to the diner, and he gives me a little gift. And it was such a poignant episode. And then I was also very blessed, because when Ron Howard, I called him Ronnie then, when he first started directing, he directed me in an episode of Happy Days.
Wow.
Oh, and I still stay in touch with Donnie Most on Facebook.
Yeah, I had a great interview with Donnie. He's a great guy, really down to earth and really good stories. And it's very interesting to see those things for sure. All right, Dave, let's hit that first question that we want to find out how Misty got discovered.
Yeah, how did you get the job on Hee Haw? And how old were you when you first appeared?
Oh, I was very young. I was one of the youngest ones on Hee Haw. And I auditioned for it, actually in Los Angeles, for the director and the writers and the producers. And they gave me, like, what they call a one sheet, which is a very long little story with a punchline at the end. And I went in, and in those days, I had this little voice. It was just a really squeaky. And I learned my story, and I went in, and there I was, like in Beverly Hills, and, you know, just really young. And I did the story perfectly until I got to the punchline, and then I messed it up.
Oh, my goodness.
And my eyes got really big, and I blinked, and my contact lens fell out. And then I was like, oh, no, you know, and I was just, like, really squeaky and just so upset and rolling my eyes. And they all started laughing. And the producer, Sam Lovello, said, "What a great voice. Can you keep it up?" And I said, "Well, I have it all my life." So that's how I got hired. Very lucky, too.
Well, when did that voice start getting lower?
Childbirth. That, after my first daughter, it got a little lower.
So are you one of the ones that that didn't really think that this show was going to make it, like the critics said? I like to ask all the cast members that. What was your opinion of the show after you did, like, one or two?
Oh, no, the first 6 hours, I thought I was clapping my hands behind Buck and Roy. And sort of the first 6 months I was on the show, they didn't let me talk. I was clapping my hands and clapping my hands. And after about 6 hours of that, I thought, oh, gee, this show isn't going to last 6 months. And then I was on it 19 years. So.
Wow. And then they finally let you do some comedy, right?
They did. They let me do some jokes in the cornfield, but I didn't have a skit like the rest of the people on Hee Haw. Like Danila had Nurse Goodbody, and Lulu had the truck stop. And then I got, I did a movie about Marilyn Monroe, and Mel Brooks saw a picture of me in People magazine, and he called me in, and he auditioned me for Maid Marian in When Things Were Rotten for Paramount Studios.
Remember that.
And once I did that, oh, Hee Haw was really wild about me, and my contract was also up at the time. So to tempt me to stay, they gave me a skit with Junior Samples, and I was the BR549 girl. And that is just like made in heaven. Junior, I was his assistant. When he would do magic tricks, he'd saw me in half, and they would never tell him how he was going to do that. And he said, well, if I do that, she's not going to be able to go to lunch.
Was he really a half-wit, which is what he was portraying, or was he a pretty smart guy?
He was an innocent, I'd like to say, and he was humble and sweet. He'd only gone to the third or fourth grade. But he had children,
really,
and he was very funny. And when he had a heart condition, he prayed to God to keep him alive so he could build each one of his sons a house.
Oh.
And that did happen. Each one of his sons has a house that their father helped build. But he was funny. And
he was.
Together, it,
he wasn't even trying to be funny. He was funny.
I couldn't believe some of the things he did. You know, he amused me so much, and he was so sweet to me.
It was a family, wasn't it? One big, happy family.
Well, Hee Haw is my second family. And unfortunately, I've now lost 23 members of my second family.
Oh, wow, yeah, I know.
How many are left?
The Cornfield Friends.
And that's why we have them on.
Marianne Rogers.
All the youngest ones.
All right.
All the youngest ones. I did see Joe Babcock the other day, and he was part of the Nashville edition, but there's only like one or two of the Nashville edition left.
So is it fun traveling on the tours and the anniversary shows?
Oh, we had a great time on the anniversary show, and we had a great time on the Huckabee show.
Ah.
Boy, were they good to us, and what a set, and what lighting. And do you know that Governor, everybody calls him the Governor, he got on a pair of overalls and got in the cornfield with us? And
that's
then
great.
When we sang Rocky Top for the he played bass.
Yeah, he's a good bass player.
Oh, he was such fun. What a nice man.
I hope someday to get the chance to interview Governor Huckabee. I've interviewed Newt Gingrich and different people. It's amazing to talk about their personalities and get to chat with them. Now, Misty, I'm going to jump because it looks like Dave has 1,000 questions for you, Misty. I'm going to go about fans, talking about the fans. This is why we're doing this interview, because we're going to make sure we get it and blast it out to all the Hee Haw fans all over the world, especially for television and radio. But, Misty, how much do you love connecting with your fans?
I absolutely love it because I was on television for 20 years, and they could see me, and they'd write fan letters. Of course, everybody does Facebook and email now, but I never really got to meet very many of them because it was television. So now that we're doing the live shows, I can actually meet the people that grew up watching me. And we come out to the lobby after our shows, and we sign pictures, and I let them take pictures of us with their camera, with our arms around the shoulders, you know. And they say, oh, I love Tiha. I grew up with it, or you were my favorite, or I love how Lulu sings, or that BR549, or tell me a bedtime story, because I also tell bedtime stories on Hee Haw after Junior passed.
What does BR549 mean?
Well, it was a number they thought up that people could call the car station, but unfortunately it was a real number of an older woman who lived in some place like Indiana.
Oh, geez.
And people were constantly calling her, and she had to change her number.
They only had 3 digits in those days? I don't understand.
BR549.
That's funny.
All right, so Dave has the final question of the evening, or of our interview, as we're waiting on Buck, and we'll keep you on just to see what Buck's memory of you, Misty, is. But let's go with the basic question right now, Dave. Why Dave does the show? Why he keeps the lights on? Helps keep the lights on for so we can have these great celebrity interviews. Dave has his own story. Go ahead and tell your story, Dave.
Well, my beautiful wife been married 44 years. She had a stroke 22 years ago, about halfway in, and she lost her speech, became paralyzed on the right side. But she's a fighter, and she, after a couple-year grieving period, decided she's just going to do everything she did beforehand, even with one arm and one leg and unable to talk. So now she makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers. I wrote a book about her. Now I travel the country talking to caregivers, trying to keep them from making the same mistakes I did, you know, because 30% of them die before their loved ones do, and the rest of them just get sick or need a caregiver themselves. So how are you doing as far as your parents, your grandparents? Have you had the opportunity to care for anybody or, you know, anyone who does?
Yes, I have. My grandfather lived with me for 3 years until he died. He had cancer. And my mother, who was really a hoot, everybody called her Rosie, and she always wore red hats. And she would drive me to all my auditions when I was young. She got Alzheimer's. And I took care of her for a very, very long time, 13 years. And then she had to go to a skilled nursing facility. Right. And the first one was not a match for her. She was not happy there. So I moved her 3,000 miles to a skilled nursing facility where my sister-in-law worked. It was up in the mountains in a place called Big Bear Lake, California.
Yeah.
And they were so good to her. And she lived there 8.5 years. And it moved me so much, the kind of care she got there and the things I learned and how to interact with my mother at the end of her life with the Alzheimer's. Because at the end, she no longer knew my name. But she knew I was her daughter. She knew that. And in the end, that's what was important to me. And I actually wrote a play on it, and it's being developed right now in California.
Good for you.
Tremendous.
God
wow.
bless you. You're a great caregiver.
Absolutely.
Well, I really love my mom. And I love my dad, too. And my brother actually took care of my dad, and I took care of my mom. So, you know, that caregiving, it changes your life. But I think it changes your life for the better. Because you learn what true love is.
CaregiverDave.com.
Caregiver Dave.
It's a support group. It's got my videos, books. All the resources a caregiver needs to keep from burning out and stay alive, stay out of the hospital.
And we are excited, my producer.
Yes, you have to take care of yourself, and you have to have help.
And guess who?
You have to have help.
And I got good news, Misty. We do have Buck Trent online. Buck, thanks for calling.
Yes, Neil.
I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, Neil.
How are you?
Oh, Thank you for inviting me. I'm doing just right. How you doing?
Good. I have Misty on the line right now, and I wanted you to give one of your favorite, fondest memories of Misty before we say goodbye to Misty.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. We've done so many Hee-Haw shows and together, and it's a very talented gal. She does a lot of other shows and always Patsy Cline and all that stuff, and Hey.
Tell them about the show we're doing now, Buck, and about the mini pearl thing in it. That's so cute when you tell that.
Oh, yeah, mini pearl. You got a video on that, eh? She dresses like, mini pearl. She does mini pearl, and we did a show down in Greenville, Texas. And Misty opened the show, and like Minnie Pearl, and so we did the show, and after the show, we always associate with the folks that come to see us, and some people come up to me and said, why didn't you bring Minnie Pearl back out?
Because I had come back out at myself the second part of the show.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
you did the Minnie Pearl impersonation. Good job.
Yes. I opened the show as Minnie Pearl, and then I take 20 minutes to get back into the Hee-Haw Honey, and I come out as the Hee-Haw Honey. And then sometimes Buck and I do dueling banjos together.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Right. You can't believe it. She can see where Roy Clark used to answer me on the banjo, she can dance that step, and it's really good.
I do it in tap shoes.
Really good. That's pretty good. Really good.
For sure. Well, Misty, thanks for calling. I just wanted to get the memory from Buck, and now I'm going to get Dave to introduce Buck Trent. So thanks for calling, Misty, and thanks for coming on the show.
Okay.
Right.
Good. All right. Welcome to the show, Buck.
Oh, yeah.
Buck Trent started performing on Word Radio at the age of 10. Really? Traveled to California, Texas, finally arriving in Nashville in 59 when he joined Bill Carlisle. How do you pronounce that? Bill Carsley?
Bill Carlisle. He had a lot of hit records. Oh, he's a great entertainer. I learned a lot from him.
You first appeared on the Grand Ole Opry. You're a member of Bill Monroe's Bluegrass Boys from 60-61. And you played lead guitar with Dolly Parton. Wow.
The electric
bag of chips and everything else. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. I was a reporter Wagner from 62 to 74, too. So it was great.
Tell us how you got involved with Hee-Haw.
Well, Roy Clark and I were friends since 1962. And he was doing Hee-Haw, and we would, when he'd come to town, we'd get together or on shows throughout the country. And when I went with Porter in 62, Pretty Miss Norma Jean was there, and then she left, and then Jeannie Seeley from the Grand Ole Opry, and she's with us, and I recorded Don't Touch Me If I Don't Love Me with Jeannie, and then she left and went on the Grand Ole Opry, and then here comes Dolly Parton. The show got bigger.
Wow.
And the show got bigger, so Porter and Dolly had two hits and won awards and recorded a lot of hit records with Dolly.
How many years were you on here?
Until about 82, probably, from 74 to 82.
Wow.
So it was fabulous. We would take 13 shows in June, 13 in October. it was really something to do 13 shows at a time. And yeah, that was
what. Yeah,
it was a great.
Did you think it was going to be a success?
Yeah, it's already a success when I went on, and yeah.
Yeah, when those first shows, you didn't think it was corny? You thought, wow, this is going to work?
Well,
what were your thoughts?
Some of the people thought, but it was a great family show, one of the great family shows of all time.
You were a believer.
The whole family could,
wow.
The whole family could sit down and watch it without being embarrassed. They understood the music, the country music. The comedians, they had the top country comedians on the show. And it was just great, you know. Even now they rerun it and people watch it all the time.
Wow.
It's a great show.
Yeah,
great
where's the best place, Buck?
You know,
Buck,
they,
yeah. I was gonna ask you, Buck. Where's the best place we can watch reruns? Where are they mostly on now to check out Hee Haw and like catch up a lot? Yeah, yeah.
RFD, it's on RFD, which a lot of shows are on RFD, country music shows.
A lot of them are on YouTube, too, Neil.
YouTube, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can put Roy Clark. They're playing Roy Clark and I have the dueling banjos, and it's one of the great dueling banjos of all time. In fact, Roy Clark and I had... two hit albums together, and we won two CMA awards together. It's just dynamite. But they're playing, you can tell it's the Hee Haw, because Roy and I are in overalls, and it come off real good. It's really good.
So even the younger generation are getting excited about watching the Hee Haw reruns, huh?
Oh, yeah, they understand it, you know. They understand the joke, they understand the music, so it's dynamite. It really is. A lot of the great country, and we had guests from all, you know. I mean, God, we had everybody you could think of guests on that show.
So, Buck.
One of my big thrills was Roy Rogers and Dale Evans were singing a song in the studio, and we're standing behind the camera. And so when they sing, "Here comes Roy Rogers," he's one of my heroes. My mama used to take me to town every Saturday, and I'd get to see the Cowboys and especially Roy Rogers. And he'd come over towards me, and I said, "Hi, Roy, I'm Buck." He said, "I watch you every week, Buck. I know."
That's tremendous.
So that's a big thrill, yeah.
How about performing? So, still performing now, Buck. Do you love performing, especially for the Hee Haw fans?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, performing, much like Roy Clark, you know. You got to entertain the people. And I've been entertaining here in Branson since 90. Mickey Gillen opened that theater up in 90, and he bought it, you know, about halfway through the season. And so I've had a morning show and a breakfast show for a long time. And now I'm doing the shows on the road like I used to with the Hee Haw girls and Lulu, Misty Rowe, and Santa Jay. I've done some with Connie Stoneman, and so it's just a lot of fun.
Well, you're one of the last survivors. The numbers are getting thinner and thinner. You mind asking if I ask how old you are?
Oh, yeah, I'm 80, and I'm in great shape for 80. I turned everything around. My life, 35 years ago, I moved back to Nashville from Roy Clark, and I'd moved to Tulsa in 76, and so in 82, went back to Nashville and turned a lot of things around, and because there was a lot of drinking back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It was everywhere. Roy Clark and I worked Vegas 42 shows at a time.
My goodness.
Yeah, three or four three or four times a year. And in 76, we did 42 shows in Vegas and went right to Russia. And we were the first country show to go to Russia in 76. Wow. Yeah. So so I had to slow it down a little bit.
Now,
so
now
it's been good.
What was your fondest memory?
That is a lot better.
Right. Sorry. I was going to ask Buck, what was your fondest memory on Hee Haw?
Wow. Well, Roy Clark and I doing a lot of banjo stuff. In fact, we got all the banjo players together at one time. And then we got all the fiddle players together at one time. And we had Joe Frazier, a friend of mine. He used to work the Hacienda in Vegas when we were working the Frontier. And he,
a fighter?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You ain't kidding.
Wow.
So having him on the Hee Haw, and we had Sammy Davis Jr. And
oh my goodness.
Like I said,
yeah,
Roy Rogers, and we had everybody you could think of as a guest on the Hee Haw show.
Well, you sure showed the critics, didn't you?
Yeah, it's just a great, show. It's still, still running it.
I'll have to catch up now.
The jokes nowadays are...
Go ahead. Sorry.
The jokes nowadays, I mean, maybe don't even have a punchline or not funny. You know? Different people.
Well, Buck, one of the things that is a really good and interesting story is that Dave is a caregiver, and I think you were listening to that story before. Dave, I would just ask the question this time to Buck about caregiving. Dave has is like an advocate for caregiving and helping people go through those challenges of taking care of people that really are draining, especially if they have grandparents or are their parents. So Dave, ask the question, Dave, because we've kind of already told the story a couple times.
Yeah.
Today.
So in your 80s, I'm sure that you have had opportunities to care for someone that you love who needed some care. Share some of that. Mm-hmm. If that's what happened.
Well, you have to give it away to keep it. What you take with you, what you do for other people. And even friends or, some of my kid folks back there in Spartanburg, South Carolina, where I'm from. And my sister, 8 years older than me. And we got our life straightened out. And, helping other people is the way to go. And that's what a lot of country music is about.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm assuming your parents passed away already. Did you have to care for any of them? Did they go quickly? Did it take a long time?
Well, my mama made it to 84, and she worked in the cotton mill. She worked in the cotton mill 35 years and only missed one day. And when I was 3 years old, she bought a brand new house there for $700.
Wow.
It was brand new 3-room house and built onto it later. But it was all new. And she knew how to survive.
Well, and you survive, because caregiving is not easy. It's one of the stressful jobs out there.
Well, Buck, now, are you on social media? We all talked about, how you're touring and stuff like that. Are you on social media, or people need just go check out the website for your tours and stuff? Are you on social media yourself?
The people are booking us. Going to Canada and...
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it.
Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.